This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And finally today, a segment about old Jews telling jokes.
And no, we're not old Jews, and we're not going to tell jokes, but we are going to talk about the current Broadway show called Old Jews Telling Jokes, which is just that.
Doctor, I can't pee.
You can't pee?
I can't pee.
How old are you, Mr. Shapiro?
I'm 91.
You've peed enough.
And one of the co-conceivers and co-producers of the show is Daniel Okrent, well-known author, the founder of the now-defunct New England Monthly magazine, and the first public editor of the New York Times.
And he knows a good joke when he hears one, especially a good Jewish joke. So he took the thriving web series, Old Jews Telling Jokes, and with pal Peter Gethers, the president of Random House Studio, turned it into an off-Broadway show.
And despite the fact that his father defined a theatrical investor as a schmuck with a pen, Okrent jumped at the challenge. And now the show is a hit. It's at the West Side Theater in Manhattan. He's in Boston right now to talk about it tonight at Temple Israel, and he joins us right here at Radio Boston. Welcome to the show, Dan Okrent. Great to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. And so, I am an old Jew, so we're now official.
It's funny, we almost had that in the script, and I thought, I'm not going to put that in. I'm going to let him say that. Well, listen, you're an author, an editor, serious writer, magazine editor, as we said, former public editor of the New York Times. I think you've done just about everything, and now that you've taken this on, you have done just about everything. Why did you want to take this on?
It was for fun.
Yeah.
My writing partner and producing partner, Peter Gethers, who's done even more things than I've done. So one thing that neither of us had done in media was theater, and we both are theater fans. We saw this website. Actually, I was on the website. For a period, I was the world's youngest old Jew, because you had to be 60 to be on the website, and I think I appeared 3 days after my 60th birthday, telling some jokes. And then Peter had the idea that, you know, this might be make a good comedy act, get some of these folks into a cabaret, and one thing led to many other things, and finally we found ourselves opening up off-Broadway exactly a year ago.
Well, let's talk about some of the humor and listen to a little bit of it. For people who don't know, you adapted Old Jews Telling Jokes from a popular website of the same name, which is just that. So let's listen to a joke from the show right now. Here we go.
A man goes to see his rabbi, and he says, Rabbi, I think my wife is poisoning me. I don't know what to do. And the rabbi says, well, give me a chance to talk to her, and I'll get back to you. So the next day, the rabbi calls the man, and he says, well, I had a long, long talk with your wife, 3 hours at least. And the man says, yeah, so what's your advice? Take the poison.
Take the poison. I like that one. So
I didn't say that our jokes are classy. They're kind of cheap, but they're fun.
Tell me about these jokes, though, in this kind of humor. What makes it so appealing to you? And they live on and on and on.
Yeah,
they?
They are very old, and a lot of them are showing their age. But we cherish them the way we cherish national monuments and such. Jewish humor, as we represented in the show, is really the humor of being a loser. The butt of the joke, the schlemiel, they're self-deprecating. They look at the world with a certain amount of gloom, and they try to find some humor in it. And I think that if one wants to be serious about the subject, which is always dangerous, humor arises from tragedy. You know, it's tragedy plus time equals comedy, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Did you grow up hearing a lot of these jokes, and did you like telling them?
Yeah, I did grow up hearing them from my grandfather, who was born in Eastern Europe and emigrated here when he was in his 40s. And I heard them from my father and my mother to a slighter degree. Women, for some reason, and I still haven't figured this one out, don't like to tell these jokes as much as men do. And I started telling them as a kid, and I used to keep trying to remember them. In my early 30s, I started to keep a list of punchlines so I'd remember the jokes. I now have a list of about 400 punchlines. I only remember about 100 of the jokes. And a friend of mine says she's going to read all the punchlines at my funeral.
So what's your favorite joke? Can you tell us one?
No, I can't tell you my favorite joke because you'll lose your broadcasting
license.
Well,
that's the thing. I know. I needed to talk to you a little bit about this. Some of these jokes in the show are racy. We can't play them on the air because of the language. And I understand that you had some what, some difficult conversations about what could and what did eventually end up in the show, right?
That's right. And we weren't sure how far we could go because we don't want to offend people. On the other hand, a lot of humor comes from offense. So we're hoping that people come to the theater thinking, okay, I'm willing to drop my concerns about political correctness. I'm willing to drop my concerns about proper social decorum and just have some fun, knowing we're all making fun of ourselves in the course of the show. We went pretty far in the show, and that was because I went to see the Book of Mormon. And after I saw what they did, I figured you can say anything in a theater now.
Well, here's another joke from the web series. This one is performed by Richard Levine. Let's listen to it.
A woman calls up a friend. She says, Becky, I understand you got a new apartment. She says, I do. I got a pretty apartment. Why don't you come visit? She says, I'd love to visit, but I don't know where you live. You got to give me directions. She says, I live at 1486 86th Street. Outside's a double door. With the right elbow, press down the handle from the door, push open the door, you'll be in what we call a vestibule. With the left elbow, press for a B, it'll ring upstairs. As soon as I hear the ring, I'll buzz you. When you hear the buzz, with the right elbow, press open the handle from the inside door, push open the door, walk straight ahead to the elevator, with the left elbow, press up. The door will open up, you walk straight to my apartment for B. I'll answer the door, you'll come in, we'll have coffee. She says, just a second. What kind of directions is this with the elbow? The left elbow, the right elbow? What's with the elbows? She says, what? You're coming empty-handed?
Richard Levine, who tells that joke, he's marvelous. And on the website, they're all amateurs. They're people who, you know, have real lives, but they clearly have enriched their lives and the lives of their friends by telling jokes like this.
Dan, let me ask you what it took to put this show on the stage. Before you came in today, I was reading a wonderful piece you wrote in New York Magazine about how little you actually knew. And here's a bit of what you wrote. You said, Peter, your co-producer, and I took our first step on the stage 3 years ago, and we had our lawyers acquire theatrical rights to the website and its name. In a sort of real-life Jewish joke, the legal fees far surpassed the amount we paid for the rights themselves. We were suddenly producers, but we really had no idea what that meant. So what did you learn? What did it mean to be a producer?
What it means is you better find a partner who knows what he's doing. And we found ourselves very fortunately through a connection, friends to friends to friends to friends. And actually, Stephen Sondheim was in the middle of this chain, which that's a name that I'm going to drop and I hope to get a big bang from. We were led into the office of a group of four producers who had produced The Producers and had produced Hairspray and Smokey Joe's Cafe. They were very successful Broadway producers. And we went to them for advice, and they wouldn't let us out of their office. They said, we want to co-produce this with you. And thankfully, they knew what they were doing. They didn't know what we were doing. If they had, they probably wouldn't have made us partners.
Who do you think, who is coming to these shows?
Well, you will not be shocked to learn that there are a lot of old Jews who come to it and young Jews. But our audience is really varying now. We actually have an advertising campaign we started in New York with reviews from people who working for major media who identify themselves. Marilyn Stasio of Variety says, naughty Catholic schoolgirl. And Jeremy Gerard of Bloomberg says, you know, lapsed Episcopalian. The humor works for everybody, I think. You might have to appreciate a certain kind of humor, but it doesn't have anything to do with being Jewish. It's having that particular outlook on the world.
Well, one of the big themes in a lot of Jewish humor is mothers. And I want to play one more example from the show and just ask you about this.
It was Inauguration Day, and it was a very special inauguration in Washington, D.C., because the very first Jewish American president-elect had won the vote. It was exciting, and seated right in the front row, front and center, was her widowed mother, seated between the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and a senior senator. Proud as could be, she sat and watched, and just as her daughter, the president-elect, was about to step up onto the dais to become sworn in, she turned to the senior senator and said, "Do you see that young woman? Her brother's a doctor."
Now, this is a joke that I didn't think was good enough for our show. We didn't include it.
Oh, so this didn't make it? I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, the stuff in our show is, you know, we only have home runs in our show. you know, that everybody's got different tastes about jokes. They come at you pretty quickly in our show. We have over 70 jokes in the 75 minutes of the show. But I think it's worth mentioning, it's not stand-up comedy. We act the jokes out. We have five excellent Broadway-experienced actors, and if there's a joke about a mother and a daughter, one actress plays the mother, one plays the daughter. And so there's there's some liveliness to it.
I was reading about some of the humor in here. Why don't Jewish mothers drink? They don't want to dull the pain.
Yes, that's a standard. We throw that one in the middle of a song. We needed four or five really short jokes to make the song move along.
Well, Daniel Okrent, what a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in and talking about old Jews telling jokes. Pleasure having you in.
And I hope people join us at Temple Israel at 477 Longwood Avenue this evening at 8 o'clock.
That's this evening, and that's Daniel Okrent. He was speaking to us about old Jews telling jokes, the off-Broadway play based on the popular web series. It's now playing at the West Side Theater in Manhattan. There's a lot more information on our website at radioboston.org.
Well, that's it today. Remember, you can always follow us for the latest on the show. We're at Twitter, I should say. We're at Radio Boston. Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert, Amory Sievertson, Dina Rosendorf, and Alex Kingsbury.
Our interns are Darian Garay and Ava Aguado.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.